Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require. In a recent study by the Harris Poll on behalf of Express Employment Professionals, 71% of hiring decision makers are willing to hire contingent workers to meet their business needs. But more than half of those hiring expect to face challenges in finding qualified candidates. Express Employment Professionals is here to make hiring easier. Express is in the business of recruiting talent. Discover for yourself how working with the workforce experts can solve your hiring challenges. Visit expresspros.com for a location near you. Summer is coming and that means vacation. But if you are a parent, you know how fast your kids grow. And that means nothing from last summer will fit. And we need to get the kids new summer clothes. Well, if you're looking for summer clothes for the kids like me, you are in luck. Macy's Friends and Family Sale is coming. And trust me, you don't want to miss it. Get an extra 30% off brands that almost never go on sale, like Levi's, Calvin Klein, Tommy Hilfiger, Nike, Gap, Hotel Collection, Lego, and more. And 15% off beauty, makeup, and more. Plus free shipping when you spend $25. April 25th to May 5th, Macy's.com and in-store.
Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
All right, this week's Thursday Therapy, we've got Dr. Tates on. She's a clinical psychologist in New York and California. She has a new book coming out, Stress Reset, How to Soothe Your Body and Mind in Minutes. Let's get her on. Hey, girl.
Hi, it's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. So I hear we have a mutual friend.
I do. I was like, we're so happy that we're talking about this.
I know. I got a text this morning and I was like, oh, why is Dr. Unger texting me? And I'm like, by the way, people listening, Dr. Unger is my boob surgeon. He's a plastic surgeon here in Nashville. But I was like, oh, he's probably checking in to see how my postpartum boobs are. But and I was like, oh, no. He's like, Happy New Year. Hope all is well. He's like, small world. You're having a guest on your podcast, Jenny. She's married to my best friend from growing up. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. What a small world.
Yes. I'm excited to talk to you. And it does feel like we're already friends.
I know. I love that. But I was reading your bio last night and a few things. I know you have a new book out. It's called Stress Reset, How to Soothe Your Body and Mind in Minutes. But I was also, when I was reading just again, your bio, your breakdown. You're also the author of How to Be Single and Happy, Science-Based Strategies for Keeping Your Sanity While Looking for a Soulmate. And I just was like, wow, this is, you've got it all. So I want to dive into your book, but can we also talk about that one too? Because I think a lot of people would want to hear the, you know, what that book is about and then the strategies for just being happy in a moment when you probably are not where you want to be, you know?
I would love to talk about both. Thank you.
Perfect. So, okay. So let's start with, because when I read that, I'm like, okay, how to soothe your body and mind in minutes. I was like, all right, just how? Because sometimes, and I will say my body is my first indicator when I don't feel safe. And I just go to that place of either past trauma or something. But for me, it's how do you regulate the body when you are being triggered by something that is activating you?
Jana, this is a big question, and I just want people to know from the get-go, this is all things that you can do in minutes. There's no long meditations, big medications, or martinis required, and I include 75 different tools because different things work for different people. And so if we think about it, stress or any emotion really has three components. There's really distressing thinking. Then there's physical sensations, understandably, that come with really negative thoughts, whether it's muscle tension or scowling or your heart racing. And then there's behaviors. So sending an aggressive text or yelling or canceling, avoiding. And mm-hmm. So if by being really mindful of each of those three compartments or components, and then intervening at each angle from mind, body to behavior, we have a whole buffet of options. And so like different genes work well for different people and fit better on, you know, you have a favorite, there are a lot of options. And so specifically for body, let's say, one of my favorites is It seems so simple, but it's really subtle and profound at the same time. But a lot of times when we're angry, if we're sitting in traffic and like someone is moving 5 miles per hour in front of us, or you're in like a really long line when you're in a huge rush, I'm guessing that you are tensing your whole face, and that is probably like almost tipping into a tension headache. And if you do something as simple as a half smile, which is really a quarter of a smile, which is, you know, ever so slightly raising your lips, that automatically like releases tension in your face. And that creates an ambiance that's more conducive to being more accepting. And so just from the outside in, relaxing your face will automatically like kind of quiet judgmental thoughts and allow you to practice more acceptance. So that's just one of very many, but I personally am trying to do that all the time. And again, there's so many options.
How do you do that though when you're so angry or you're hurt or you're broken or you're, because I can imagine, again, something was really hard that I was dealing with just, you know, a few weeks ago. And it's like, if someone told me just to smile to fix that, I'd be like, there's like, my body's like shaking. You know what I mean? Like, how do you change? Like, are we talking just, because I'm like, yes, like you said, it sounds simple, but at the same time, it sounds also hard when you're in that moment where you're so, your body is so taken over by stress or anxiety.
Jen, I'm so happy that you raised that, because this is not the thing to do if you're angry for a good reason or the anger is serving you. If your anger is serving you, if you're angry at someone that disappointed you, your face is the best communicator that is providing the other person like very powerful information. And so we don't want to do this. I would never recommend suppressing or just like smiling through it. This is if you, you know, you're in traffic and fighting is just going to give you a migraine, not improve the situation. But if someone pissed you off, then I would not say like half smile through it. I would say, There's so many other things. I mean, we can totally dive into the details of what this person did, but it might be giving the benefit of the doubt. It might be asserting yourself. And there's like a really practical user-friendly recipe that I teach in the book on exactly how to assert yourself that you could use like as a template to plug and play different situations into. But yeah, different tools for different times. And if someone really pissed you off, I would not say half smile is your tool.
No. And no one pissed me off. It was more just, you know, I think stress, postpartum, hormones, all the things. I'm a little probably more tense than I normally am, you know? And so that's where in that moment I'm like, oh, it'd be tough to smile or to do the, you know, the lift of the lip. But like, is there anything else that in your book too, where you talk about, okay, how to ease your mind a little bit in those situations of stress or
when you are postpartum, and I'm so grateful that you're doing this in such a busy time, I think really taking a minute, I love the skill of self-validation, really normalizing the normal, because a lot of times we might feel angry and then stack onto that like, I should feel happy, I should be grateful, or what's wrong with me. And I think just normalizing, like, it is really exhausting, and it's really understandable to not feel like your best self when sleep is compromised. That automatically spikes cortisol levels and affects your ability to think clearly and compromises your ability to feel great. And so even just the act of knowing, like, it makes sense to feel this way, and it's okay to feel this way, I don't need to judge that, I don't need to also believe the things that I'm thinking in this state, because it's a real problem to believe everything you think when you're feeling really lousy and you're not sleeping enough.
Do you have tips in the book to how to combat the snowball effect of stress, where it's you, because for me, I know I do this. When one thing stresses me out, 50 things will then stress me out. And it's not even, and I'm normally never stressed about the 29th, 30th or 40th thing, but when I'm stressed about one, like, I compile everything together. Do you have anything for that?
Yes. And so that is something that we all do. And a lot of us do this in crazy, you know, comical ways. You know, I just remember when I was postpartum, I was really stressed and overwhelmed going back to work. And I was like literally just thinking about all the things I had to do and how I had no energy and how I had no time. And then I started mindlessly picking at my fingernail. And little did I know that when you are postpartum, you're immunocompromised. And so I developed a crazy antibiotic resistant infection that like required minor surgery and multiple visits with infectious disease. And so literally, I think this is everything. Like when we are really stressed, we think in ways that make things much more stressful, and we act in ways like, it was so ironic. I was like, I don't have time. And then here I am with like 5 follow-up visits to different doctors and sitting right. in the ER for many hours. And so I think even there's so many things, but one very specific thing is just labeling. I'm in emotion mind. I'm not in reasonable mind, which is just the facts. I'm not in wise mind, which is where my head and heart are aligned, but I'm in emotion mind. Like if that automatically gives you a little bit of working distance from taking your thoughts so seriously, if like it's the middle of the night and you hear a noise, emotion mind, like that does not mean that you're about to be, you know, broken in, your house is about to be robbed, or if you're afraid of flying rather than thinking turbulence is a sign that you're in harm's way, taking a second to realize like, no, emotion mind, this is my fear of flying, not a crash is coming.
They always say moms are really hard to shop for, but the truth is moms will love everything, especially if it's coming from Macy's. Macy's makes shopping for Mother's Day easy. Macy's Mother's Day gift guide has the perfect gift to make mom feel special. You can shop by price, $25 and under to $100 and under, or category like fragrance, handbags, and more. So if you don't know what to get them, Macy's got you covered. Or they have gift lists if you are really stuck, like the list for the mom who has everything, for the plant lover or for grandma. Some of their top Mother's Day gifts include Dolce & Gabbana perfume, Coach floral printed leather, Cassie crossbody bag. Whatever you need this Mother's Day, find it at Macy's. Shop Macy's.com/giftfinder. Did you know that 95% of pregnant women are not getting their recommended daily intake of key omega-3s? That's where Ritual comes in. Their prenatal contains 350 milligrams of eco-friendly vegan omega-3 DHA in every serving, sourced from algal oil instead of fish. I loved Ritual. I took it when I was pregnant with Roman. I also now take their multivitamin. It's just an amazing everyday thing that I know is good for the body. A prenatal multivitamin made traceable with vegan, bioavailable, and clinically studied key nutrients for before and during pregnancy, like omega-3 DHA to support baby's brain development and choline and methylated folate to support baby's neural tube development. Their vitamins are rigorously tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. Ritual works with world-class certification bodies to validate their products. Why settle for a multivitamin you're not 100% sure about? Ritual was literally built on trust, so you know it's the real deal. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/wine. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women prenatal to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/wine for 25% off. So I've recently got some boots in the mail that I had to try because I'm a boot girl. I love boots, but wow, I'm never going back to Tecovas, you guys. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather and custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, Tecovas.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots.
I mean, you bring up flying, and I'm probably the worst flyer there is just because I don't like turbulence. I don't like to know, okay, I would love to sit next to the pilot the entire time and be like, are we good? Is this good? Then you're at a loss of control too, because it's in their hands and you don't know what's going on or the weather or anything like that. So with that aspect of things too, like I tend to overthink a lot of things and my brain like does not shut off at times. I know you say, you know, there's, you can do this in a minute. So instead of doing a meditation or quieting the mind, is there, what can you do for the overthinking of just like stopping your brain from just overacting?
When you're afraid on planes, can I ask what specifically comes up for you? Like, what are your thoughts? What are the sensations in your body? I know you said your urge is to just check in to make sure everything's okay.
I don't like feeling trapped. That comes from a PTSD situation from when I was 19. I do not like the feeling of being trapped. I also don't like the fact that if something were to happen, well, I think it's gotten worse as a mom. So when I had kids, I really just start to paint the picture like, oh my God, if something happens and I'm on a plane and they're not going to have their mom. And so I think there's the fear. And I know I've gone to fearflying.com and I know all the statistics, and you could tell me that till, you know, you're blue in the face, but I'm still, every time we hit a bump, I'm like, I start to freak out. Are we okay? I look at the flight attendants, you know, my body just goes into essentially fight or flight, you know, where I just am like, I'm on high alert and I'm not in my right brain. Like I'm not rational. I'm like, we're going down.
I really appreciate you opening up about that. And I think a lot of people listening probably relate to your thoughts and feelings. I think the first thing, and this is something I talk about in the book, is having a traumatic event in your past creates an ongoing vulnerability and kind of fight or flight response. And so surprisingly, there are treatments for PTSD that don't take very long and aren't too much work. For example, there's something called written exposure therapy, where you write about the trauma for 5 sessions. Each session is 30 minutes, and you write about your deepest thoughts and feelings about the event and how it affects you today. And remarkably, 5 30-minute writing sessions work as well as much longer treatments. And this has been used with veterans and people that have been through very intense, prolonged trauma. And so I think the first thing is to really understand that PTSD is going to make a lot of day-to-day things much more stressful, but for people to realize that there are really promising research-backed ways to treat PTSD that will give you more bandwidth.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I've never heard of that one. Like, I've done the EMDR. I mean, and it's interesting when I go to therapy, sometimes it'll go back to that. I'm like, God, I've worked on that for so many years. You know, like how do I go back to that place? And I've never heard of the writing thing. That's very interesting.
Yeah. And kind of the philosophy behind that is that when a traumatic event happens, we store it in a way that's splintered. And so we can continue to re-experience it, but by slowing down and staying with it in the present, we can close it out and create separation from it. Mm-hmm. And again, this is a really remarkable treatment. And this is kind of one of the reasons I wrote this book, because so many people can't necessarily afford therapy, or so many people might be doing things that aren't the most research-backed, recent, exciting ways to improve things. And so certainly I think written exposure therapy is a really promising avenue. And I think another key part of flying is radical acceptance. A lot of times we are fighting, you know, there's something difficult, and instead of accepting, we are fighting. And so I would, you know, my patients laugh, but they know that they are not allowed to talk to the stewardess or not allowed to talk to the pilot. There's no questions about how are things looking today, or was that typical? They need to, you know, they need to, if they never pray, they're not supposed to be praying. Like, there needs to be this attitude of acceptance and willingness and allowing what is, because trying to direct things that are out of our control is going to be, you're not a pilot. That's not your, I mean, it's kind of playful, but true. It's like none of your business. Like, you just got to, you're doing this because this matters to you. You want to be courageous. You're not, you know, a puppeteer orchestrating.
Right. I like that. No, I've never had it spun that way, but I really like that. I'm curious to your thoughts on alcohol when it comes to stress, because, you know, at the end of the day, some people like to sit down, have a glass of wine or crack open something. What are your views on that? Because, you know, we've had like Dr. Amen on, and, you know, he's talked about the negative effects of alcohol. Like, do you see that as a negative as well? Or is it something where you're like, you know, in every once in a while or something?
I don't want to speak in all or nothing terms, but generally speaking, alcohol does affect our sleep quality. Even two drinks takes a toll on our sleep. And so my whole thing is I don't want people to do the equivalent of taking out a high interest credit card to cope with stress. If you're going to take something to take the edge off that then messes up your sleep, that's really not the best long-term solution. And so I think if you're going out socially and you want to have a drink, that's one thing once a week. But I really hope to offer people a whole host of other things to do that are much more empowering. And besides alcohol, like I really, one of the things that stresses me out a ton is the fact that so many people are taking medications like anti-anxiety medications like Klonopin or Xanax that they're really actually painfully ironic. It's like when you need to be your sharpest, you're taking a medication that makes you think less clearly and slows you down. And they're also incredibly habit forming and the detox is really, really stressful. And so I want everyone listening to take a moment to really marinate on this idea that your body is your best pharmacy. You don't need alcohol. You don't need anti-anxiety medications. We could talk about pot. I don't want everyone to hate me, but cannabis is not a cure for anxiety. There are much better things within you.
One of my goals for 2024 is to shop sustainably. So it's so important, obviously, for just the overall world, but just, you know, you feel better about sustainability. Well, I love being able to shop sustainably at Macy's. I really appreciate that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a big difference. Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's, Little Planet, Oak on 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in-store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose. So I've recently got some boots in the mail that I had to try because I'm a boot girl. I love boots, but wow, I'm never going back to Tecovas, you guys. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather and custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots. Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require.
So what would you say then for anxiety? Because I used to be on anxiety medicine for, oh my gosh, I'm 15. No, how old am I? 40. I started when I was almost 20. So, I mean, yeah, I was almost on it for 19 years. Recently got off last October.
Congratulations. That's a really big deal.
Thank you. But having said that, I've had the worst postpartum anxiety. It's probably been depression's underneath there for sure, but the most it's been anxiety. And I've often wondered, you know, should I go back on? Because
I know all the coping mechanisms of how not to have an anxiety attack. I know, you know, all the things that I've learned over the amount of years, which is why I eliminated one of my biggest stressors, which was a marriage. And then after that, you know, I didn't have any anxiety. I'm like, okay, like this is, you know, now I also know how to cope with it. But now it's, I have that anxiety that's coming back, and I do have Xanax in my purse. I don't take it, but I like to know that I have it if I ever have like a moment on a plane or something where I can, but I mean, I haven't taken a Xanax in probably 10 years maybe, but I always have it in my purse. It's like almost a security blanket for me to know that I have it in case, which I think is not a healthy habit, but I still refill it to know that it's there when the expiration date goes. But you know, what are then, because I do not believe, but when you look at like the serotonin levels and all the things that they say, well, the serotonin levels are off. Like what then can you do to not be, so if I'm having anxiety, then what would you basically say to me to do to not go back on anxiety medicine?
Well, the reason that you keep the Xanax in your purse is because you're afraid of what? What are you, like, what would be a situation where you would need to take that?
I pass out, or like I'm on the verge and
of like a panic attack.
Yeah, like let's say I'm stuck, which is another reason why, you know, I used to never drive on the expressway because the feeling of being stuck would get me dizzy to the fact that I have to pull off on the expressway, right? So I avoided it. I lived in LA for however many years, 10 years, never went on the 405 or the 101. I was like side streets all the way. So then I, you know, worked my way up, did EMDR for it and all the things. And I was able to drive on the expressway. So I'm able to do it now, but I have to stay on like the right lane. So I know I can get off, and I'll never do it during rush hour, because then that feeling of like being stuck again will just get me. I mean, it's almost like a vertigo feeling where I just get super dizzy and I feel lightheaded. And so for me in that moment, I'm like, okay, obviously don't drive and do Xanax. That's not what I'm saying. But at least I know, I'm like, well, if I have a panic attack, I can take this. And I know I'll be fine.
I'm so excited to talk to you about this. Nothing makes me happier than to talk about this. And I really appreciate you being so open. And so for anyone listening, the cure for panic is practicing panic. Everyone needs to remember this. The cure for panic is practicing panic.
Explain, because what do you mean? Yeah.
Yes. So when someone comes into my office and tells me that they have panic, and this is all in the book, and this is one of the reasons I wrote this book, is because people need to know this. If you have had a panic attack, you are probably avoiding anything that would recreate those symptoms. But mm-hmm. What happens if you know that when you're in a stressful situation, you are going to feel short of breath, sweaty, and dizzy? What happens if we make a list of those specific physical sensations and we practice them together for a minute each? You could spin on a chair to feel dizzy. I have coffee stirrer straws that have a really small opening. You pinch your nose, you just breathe in through the coffee stirrer straw. You feel like you can't breathe. You can wear a winter coat. We could give you some espresso. You practicing, you literally putting out a welcome mat for physical sensations of anxiety puts you in the driver's seat and panic in the trunk. And after you've practiced this, you need to practice like each sensation for about a minute. You could go the extra mile and like imagine that you're driving on the freeway and feeling these things. But once you repeatedly practice welcoming panic, again, this is very similar to radical acceptance, and this is radical acceptance. When you allow your body to do what it does and come to realize that what feels terrifying is in fact temporary, you win and anxiety loses. It's almost like a Chinese finger trap. The more you fight it, the more you're held hostage, but the more you lean in and are like, bring it on, bring it on. I've been there. I've done that. This is exactly what I did at home last night. It's cool. There's enough space in me to welcome in all of it. And then, so step one is practicing that. And then step two, and what you're saying is very familiar to me, and this is what everyone says, we need to avoid safety behaviors, which is staying in, you know, avoiding rush hour traffic or avoiding certain lanes. And it's funny, you know, when I was pregnant with my oldest child, I had been living in New York for a very long time, and I flew out to LA for a psychology training that was in Solvang, which was like a 90-minute drive from LAX. And this, I was on my way to this like super important, exciting, amazing a career opportunity, and I started to like feel my hands get super sweaty on the steering wheel. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like, feel nauseous. This isn't safe. I haven't driven on a freeway in years. This is really the worst idea to drive, like, you know, far my first time. And I was like, thank you, mind. Thank you, mind. Like, there's enough space in me to welcome in all of my feelings. If I had pulled over and left, what a missed opportunity to realize that, like, it just comes and goes. It's waves. And that would have made me more anxious the next time. Then I would have developed some sort of narrative of I can't do freeways. But it's like, no, we all feel these feelings. It's just a matter of, am I willing to have them? And who's in charge here? My inner wisdom or fleeting sensations?
Right. No, I love that. I think when I'm hearing you say that, I think it's because I had passed out twice from having a panic attack. So my fear is, what if I pass out while I'm driving? You know, I get, and I, that's where it's like because my body will go from like 0 to 100 in
right
a second when it comes to that feeling of trap.
What situation did you pass out in, if I can ask?
So one was when I was in Mexico. I was completely sober, but I was in an abusive relationship. He would wake me up at 3 a.m, beat the shit out of me, throw me out of bed. So when I was alone, I mean, I would wake up at 3 a.m. every single morning after that incident. I mean, up until I got divorced a few years ago. And so now I don't wake up at 3 a.m. anymore. But I was alone. I was on tour. I was playing this country show. And it was that panic that I'm alone and I don't feel safe. And so I got up out of bed. I started having anxiety attack. And then I fell and I hit my head, and I still have scar tissue on my forehead from falling and hitting my head. And then another time was after my divorce, but that was just, I mean, it was the week I filed. So, I mean, I was probably had zero food in me and everything else, but yeah.
There's certain things people can do to prevent fainting, which are counterintuitive, like tensing your muscles. A lot of people are like trying to relax, but it's called applied tension, especially if people have blood injury injection phobias. If when they get their blood drawn, they feel really faint, tensing your muscles really helps. And so there are certain things to do. And obviously I want people to be thoughtful, but I think it's interesting that this happened twice in very extreme situations, and to create rules around pretty low probability events, maintains their weight and makes you more afraid of them. But there are all sorts of things in the book. I mean, another one that's kind of interesting is taking a salad bowl and filling it with ice water. If you hold your breath for 30 seconds as you dip your face in the ice water, that lowers your heart rate, that quickly kind of overhauls your nervous system. It's called the dive response. And even just holding ice can help, and anchoring or grounding, really digging your heels into the floor, taking a moment to kind of check in with yourself. What am I thinking, feeling, doing? Come back to the moment. And so there are tons and tons of things, and you're not alone. And I've seen a lot of people that have fainted, and it's like, let's get in the car together. We got this. And
right.
If you know that you can face the physical sensations, it's pretty unlikely to faint. The thing where I see fainting the most often is around the blood injury injection phobia, because that can make people faint. But again, this applied tension works wonders.
I love that. What's like your favorite tip in the book that you write about?
There are so many, but
I know
one that I love is that I there's two that I'll share. I really love slow breathing in for 5 seconds and out for 5 seconds. And I just want to clarify, like, it is not fair to think I'm just going to pick this up when things are really hard. You need to do this like preemptively. It's like, you can't just decide like I'm going to run the marathon without having trained. You need to do this like first thing in the morning. And so I really love doing this, and I think it works wonders. And I think it is much more powerful. It gives you a calm alertness, which is different than anti-anxiety medication that's like dull and not able to be strong and sharp. And I actually, in doing research for the book, I interviewed two psychiatrists that have moved away from prescribing medication and are now prescribing breathing. And they actually started a foundation called Breath, Body, and Mind Foundation, where they work with disaster survivors, teaching them breath work. And even in disaster zones, this specific pattern of breathing, which is much slower than the way that we normally breathe, is incredibly helpful and powerful and kind of sets a good tone for the day. And you do this through your nose. So breathing in.
Interesting.
And out. And so that's one. And then I also love a specific mindfulness practice called loving kindness meditation. And this was like my best friend postpartum. So I'm excited to share it with you. And I continue to practice this all the time, but really practicing saying statements of loving kindness first to someone that naturally brings up those feelings, then to yourself, then to maybe a friend that's having a hard time, then a familiar stranger like your Amazon driver or someone that you see at a local coffee shop, then someone a little bit difficult. May I be happy? May I be healthy? May I be safe? May I live with ease? And that really creates kind of the groundwork for being a bit nicer to yourself. And doing this again, like ahead of time, as a buffer, makes you a little bit more able to, when you're beating yourself up or judging something that you did that wasn't perfect, it's a little easier to change the channel and get back into more compassion.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, everybody, get Stress Reset, How to Soothe Your Body and Mind in Minutes. I'm definitely going to do that. And I'm going to read it on the airplane. And then you have, I just want to say the other book too, that you have that's out. What is your, How to Be Single and Happy. The biggest takeaway for people listening, How to Be Single and Happy. You think the biggest takeaway from that book is?
So much to say, but a lot of people think, when I meet someone, then my life is going to be amazing. And there's a lot of research. This is not like random thoughts by Jenny Tates. This is like research studies looking at hundreds of thousands of people. On average, marriage increases happiness by 1%. And so I really want people to know that they don't need to like wait for their life to start. Your life starts now. And some people worry that if they're too comfortable or too happy, then they won't look for love. But actually, like, that's a very evolutionary desire. You will still want a partner if you're very happy. And so I want people to know that they can do the things that matter to them and live a life that feels really rich and meaningful, even if they are not having a lot of luck and love. And so many dating books make people feel really lousy and teach people to play games and be bitchy and settle. And I want people to know that there's a science to happiness and there's a science to asserting yourself and communicating, and you don't need to play games and you don't need to lose yourself. You need to embrace yourself. And I love that.
Thank you. That's awesome. Well, Jenny, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. I am adding to cart right now.
Thank you. Thank you, Jen. I really appreciated talking to you, and I'm so happy that we're now friends.
I know. Thank you, girl. Same. Well, I'll speak to you soon. I'm going to slide into your DMs when I'm on my next plane ride and go, all right, girl.
Yeah, and this is the thing, Janet, you got to
prepare for this. What are the tips again?
I mean, this is half the book. Like, do not do this on the plane. You've got to practice panicking ahead of that. You've got to do some written exposure therapy. And then we've got to work on radical acceptance and lower stress situations to do the hardest ones.
Okay. All right. I trust you. All right. Thanks, Jenny.
Bye.
Okay. Bye, girl. Discover the rich, smooth taste of matcha love made with Japanese green tea and real matcha. There are so many culinary treats to create with this precious powder that go beyond the traditional tea ceremony. Everything from lattes to baked goods to smoothies, experience the vitality of the whole tea leaf. Matcha is vibrant in taste and full of powerful health benefits. Get 25% off all matcha love products on etoan.com using code JANA. That's code J-A-N-A. At itoen.com, available on Amazon and itoen.com. You know, I don't even know where to start with this because it's the comfort, it's the style, it's the whole look. That's what I love about my Tecovas. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend, and Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Shop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.